Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about who could possibly be winning the MVP award in the NBA. Garrett Cole goes down and undergoes Tommy John surgery. And there are a few headlines this week, but none of them include the Kansas City Chiefs or the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Giants. But we begin today's show, shocker, football. Football is king, man.
Happy New Year.
It has been a hot week, and it's only Tuesday. We're back in our normal slot. There were a slew of football moves yesterday that created quite the stir for NFL fans. We'll begin with the quarterback carousel as the Jets signed Justin Fields, the Seahawks signed Sam Darnold, the Eagles traded Kenny Pickett to the Browns, and Zach Wilson signed with your Miami Dolphins. What did you think about all the landing spots for the quarterbacks yesterday, and who's the next domino to fall?
Well, the next domino already fell. Daniel Jones, 1 year, $14 million to the Indianapolis Colts.
I like it. I just don't like that they've lost so many offensive linemen. I'm pretty sure they two linemen left from the Colts, so that's not good.
Yeah.
But he might do well in that system. That's a good system. They have a very good running back. They have young receivers. Their coach is very inventive. Maybe he can get the best out of Daniel.
If the line doesn't get him or Anthony Richardson killed.
They literally have the quarterbacks with the lowest quarterback rating as on their roster, and that's Richardson and Daniel Jones. How hilarious is that?
Perfect. Set up for success.
Completely. Sounds like the Indianapolis Colts already.
Jesus. So
you walk in the room. This is the quarterback room? Are you sure?
What's going on here? And then you hear rumors that Aaron Rodgers is down to two teams and the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the lead for that. And Russ is waiting to see where Aaron Rodgers signs. And then James Winston's over in the corner like, what the fuck you want from me? So that's kind of the quarterback situation right now, guys. But of the ones that we're aware of, not the speculation part, Sam got the Baker deal, right? Yep. He got 3 for $100.
Yep.
After the Seahawks cut Lockett, traded Metcalf. Well, they needed to trade Geno to get if they were going to make this move for Sam. So they're tearing it down, right? Smith and Jigba is their number one. Hope we'll see if they reinforce through the draft, or maybe they pick up a couple pieces in free agency. Kenneth Walker is going to, they're banking on that, right? They're going to balance it out. It's Smith and Jigba, Kenneth Walker, Sam Darnold. If I'm Sam Darnold, I'm not super enthused that all my weapons are gone.
Yeah. Like, I mean, son of a bitch. Look at what he had last year and what he's walking into right now.
Right. Jordan Addison's not there. Justin Jefferson's not there.
I mean, he got the far the fuck away from New York as he could, which I get. But the part I'm not so sure of is how this is going to work, how these weapons are going to work. I really don't know. I think Smith and Ajigba is a really good player. But remember, there were two other guys on the field that were drawing coverages, and they were a problem. I don't know if that's going to be the issue next year. I don't know how good he – we're going to find out how good he really is. And then, you know, Kenneth Walker gets hurt a lot, but they also have Charbo. Charbo is very good. You know, they're – I think they're going to be competitive, but we still got to see what Sam Darnold we get.
Right.
We're going to get the Sam Darnold that played the last two games, or we're going to get the Sam Darnold that was almost an MVP candidate. So,
or the Sam Darnold that played the last 6 years.
I think the good part about the deal is it's the Baker deal. It's 3 years. So even if they are terrible this year, even if he gets hurt this year, you're still walking into the quarterback draft next year. Yeah. And it's not so bad that if he does very good, or even if he does shitty, that you draft a quarterback, because in 2 years, Sam will be gone and this guy will be ready. So I think the Seahawks have cut bait with, you know, hey, listen, Tyler Lockett was there for a long time. I don't know who's going to sign that guy. DK Metcalf is good, but he's a burner. And, you know, I think they realize, like, we're not going to win with this guy. And I think the future is Najee. So I think they're okay. It's not ideal situation, but I think the Seahawks are okay.
We'll see. I mean, when we look at the landscape of it, the Rams clearly got better, but we're going to talk about that in a second. But if we let's go quarterback by quarterback. We talked about Sam and Let's go with Justin Fields next. 2 for 40, $30 million guaranteed for a giant.
Nah, man.
A giant, well, giant. A question mark. He's not that. He's not a giant, but he is a question mark. We still don't know what the hell Justin Fields is. And that, like I said to you in our production meeting, $30 million guaranteed for a guy that I don't know who the hell he is. That's a problem. And
well,
it was the Jets that did it.
Yeah, I mean, the reports were kind of interesting. Some of the things I heard was that he wanted to go back to the Steelers, but he wanted the starting job, and they weren't going to guarantee him that. And that's kind of what pushed him to look elsewhere. And the Jets came in heavy. It was for him, it was about the guaranteed money, and it was the years. And they were able to provide that. The problem I have here... Actually, I don't have a problem at all. I like what the Jets did. I like this move for the Jets. I think this is my favorite quarterback move of the last couple of days because he's a dynamic player. He proved last year playing with the Steelers that he can run a sophisticated offense. He doesn't turn the ball over. He runs in the right direction. I mean, it's interesting that he got 30 mil and Zach Wilson got 6. And Zach Wilson was drafted ahead of him. And the Jets could have drafted Justin Fields. So that's the other part that's kind of interesting about that. This was the same. You're basically going to get him. The only thing I would have with hesitation is, and again, this is the common Jets move, is that you got Aaron Glenn, who's a defensive-minded coach, and you're drafting a guy that still needs to learn how to play quarterback in the NFL. But the positive side about this, again, they're in a Seahawks situation where if he sucks, if he gets hurt, if it doesn't work out, next year's the quarterback draft, and you'll still be in prime position. However, he has a lot to prove here. So I think hell or high water, start him every game this year. And he played in Chicago. He knows what it's like to play in a windy stadium. He knows what it's like to deal with the media. He should do well here.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's gonna be throwing to his old college buddy, Garrett Wilson. And I believe they're the last quarterback wide receiver combo in Ohio State to beat Michigan. So there you go.
Yeah, the problem is they're not playing Michigan. They're not playing Michigan. And tell me how good Derek Carr and Devontae Adams worked out. They were teammates at Fresno State. So tell me how well that worked out.
That's true.
So, I mean, I'm hopeful for Justin Fields. He's going to get his opportunity. And when he got his opportunity last year, he was good. So I don't, you know, it was.
I like him. Yeah. I like him. I don't have a beef with him. I think he's a good player.
They lost Morgan Moses though, so the offensive line is going to be an issue.
He's used to running for his life anyway, so that's fine.
Oh god! And then Kenny Pickett for DTR, like whatever. Like I'm not, you know, it is what it is. Like it's really just not really doing much. Just that maybe Jalen Hurts felt threatened that Kenny Pickett scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know.
No, I think they're just trying to maximize their value. Cleveland needs a starting quarterback. Hey, man, we got a former first-round pick over here, so you want to take a ride with this guy? We don't need him.
Yeah, no. I don't know about that. We'll see.
What? But, play him. Fucking play him. Play him. What do you have to lose? Play him. Play him every single game. Find out what he is. Find out what he's got. I 100% just play him.
Not after the deal you just gave Miles Garrett. Not after that. You're committed to Myles Garrett. You're committed to winning. Like, if they were really about that life, they would have traded Myles Garrett. Uh-huh. Like, that's the thing. If they were really about sucking, they would have sent Myles Garrett packing, but they didn't. And you were right. Money trumps all. So they got him to go back on his word. The most intriguing one to me is Zach Wilson. I know. Stop the presses. Stop the presses. But I think McDaniel's system could be good for him.
Yeah, I agree.
He can throw the ball over them there mountains. And he's got guys who can run down the field and catch it. So he's going to get an opportunity because Tua's going to get hurt.
100%.
Death, taxes, 100%. And Tua getting hurt.
No doubt. You're going to start at least 5 games. One of them will be against the Jets, and you'll win that game.
Bingo. Of course he is. So, you know, some of the bigger ones, the bigger names, the bigger signings give me a little bit of pause. I mean, I like the lower-end stuff. I mean, I like the lower-end moves, the Zach Wilson. I even like Daniel Jones, man. He's got an opportunity to beat out Anthony Richardson.
He's got another chance, man.
We saw Anthony Richardson tap out in a football game, in a professional football game. Coach, I'm out.
I'm tired. I'm burning. I got to take a break. I'm burning.
Put the old man in. So
Give me a blow, Coach. Give me a blow.
You're 22. What are you fucking kidding? Are you fucking kidding me right now? So Daniel Jones, I think he'll win that starting job. I think it's going to be a situation where he ends up starting week one. So, I mean, that's just the quarterback dominoes, right? Of other players of consequence moving around. You have Najee Harris signing a 1-year deal with the Chargers for peanuts. You know, Javonte Williams signed for even fewer peanuts with the Cowboys.
Oh, yes.
Davante Adams signed a 2-year deal with the Rams. And then the Laremy Tunsil got traded. So
Your boy Ronnie Stanley's staying with the Baltimore Ravens. So I don't know what your Chiefs are going to do now.
Oh, yeah, my Chiefs.
How about your buddy Joey Bosa is getting a 1-year deal with the Buffalo Bills for $12 million.
Interesting.
Yeah, they like that stuff. They like defensive ends that do nothing, accumulate no stats in a game.
Well, Russo, Oliver, like, you figure they're going to run away from Miller. Them. Oh, Miller's gone. They cut him. They released him.
Oh, they cut him.
Yeah. So did any or all of these teams actually get better with their moves?
Yeah. I mean, the Najee Harris, I don't know why it just didn't work out in Pittsburgh. I'm hoping that he gets he's better for the Chargers. I think he's the kind of back Harbaugh will really embrace. We both thought Devontae could be headed to the Chargers because that would have been huge for them. Huge. But now Devontae goes to the Rams, and you got to love that. I mean, the only problem is like you essentially traded like one aging receiver for another aging receiver, and you're playing this aging receiver more money. I mean, yeah, I guess Devontae's better than Kupp, but how much better than Kupp is he?
He didn't have the injury history, though. Like, Devontae has been healthy.
Yeah. And I think he's going to – I think I told you, I mean, Super Bowl, right? I mean, if him and Stafford are able to get on the same page, I mean, who are you covering? Who are you doubling? You doubling Nacua or you doubling Adams? Who are you going to cover? Who are you going to double? You got to double one of them. Who are you going to double? I don't know. That's tough. And we both said their defense is young. Their defense gets after the ball. They almost knocked off the Eagles. They really were a drive away from knocking the Eagles off. So I think the Rams are in good shape. So I think the Rams got better. And, you know, Baltimore signed DeAndre Hopkins this morning. They get Ronnie Stanley back to protect Lamar. I think I like all these moves. I don't think the teams that made moves got better. How about all the moves that the Bears are making? You gotta love that they went and got Joe Thuney. You gotta love that they went and got a center. They go and get Grady Jarrett. I think Grady Jarrett is like one of the best defensive tackles in the league. They went and got Grady Jarrett. They are making all the right plays here.
The Bears definitely are addressing the issue of keeping Caleb Williams upright. That is for damn sure. So they are, they're moving in the right direction. Absolutely, they are. And then I don't understand $9 million for Najee Harris, though. It seems like 1 year, $9 million. You're telling me he couldn't get a better offer from someplace? Like, I'm confused by that.
I don't think there was a market for him.
And they're replacing him with Kenneth Gainwell. So the Steelers just signed Kenneth Gainwell. So they're going to pair him with Jalen Warren?
Okay. Probably.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. That's not exactly doing it for me, but hey, that's I mean, whatever. That's up to you. So, Justin, you know, the Chiefs are slowly but surely losing their guys. It's like Justin Reed went to the Saints. You have everybody but Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton is staying. Everybody else, you're gone. Justin Watson, I believe, went left as well.
Like, did he?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So they lost a tight end. They lost D-Hop. Like, they're definitely losing out on some guys. So the wealth is spreading out a little.
Xavier Worthy, I think, got, like, arrested for something.
He did, but they're not pressing charges. So
it's not convenient.
Yeah, well, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, like, that's 2 years in a row that a young and talented. Yeah, wow.
Justin Watson goes to the Houston Texans. That's huge.
I like that.
Huge. I like that, too.
I wonder what that means for Schultz, though. Are they going to keep Schultz, or are they going to send him packing?
Yeah. No. They're going to keep him. He's going to be the double tight end set there. Wow.
So overall, like, the teams have addressed needs, and all of these teams got better in some aspect. But the Rams definitely stand head and shoulders above. So
yeah,
they got the big fish. They can now move on from Cooper Kupp. They got better. The Rams definitely got better.
The thing I have an issue with, Z, is like, you have Davante Adams, right? Mm-hmm. He's on your team. You're the New York Jets. I mean, are you calling guys? Like, you cut him, but then he goes and signs a 2-year, $40 million deal with the Rams. How come you couldn't trade him to the Rams? How come you couldn't get a draft pick from the Rams? Are you kidding me? Like, I think that's a huge failure. Look, you see Tyler Lockett got cut. Anybody fucking sign that guy yet? Because they couldn't trade him. Right. You're telling me you didn't try to trade him. I don't believe you tried to trade him. Because everybody would have wanted Davante Adams. There's no way they wouldn't have wanted him. And you didn't even try.
Or the...
So
it's the one of two things. Either they didn't try, or their price was so exorbitant they're just like, ah, fuck you. We'll wait for you to cut him.
Yeah. Probably. They could have been the latter. So, Z, if Aaron Rodgers, if you're friends with Aaron Rodgers, and he calls you, he goes, hey, Z, you know, what do you think I should do here? I'm not really sure what I should do. Should I go to the Giants? Should I go to the Steelers? Should I go to the Vikings? Should I retire? Should I stop doing the Pat McAfee show? Like, what do you say to him if you're his friend?
Definitely stop doing the Pat McAfee show. Shut the fuck up. Stop doing the goddamn show. Tell your press advisor, your press secretary, not helping you. So that's number one. Number two, you name three teams that have mediocre to bad offensive lines. And at 41 years old, coming off an Achilles injury, I need max protect every fucking play. I need to be put in a plastic bubble. So, who's the best line of the three? I would say the Vikings, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going into a situation very similar to what you did with the Jets. Now, instead of displacing Zach Wilson, which, whatever, you displace Zach Wilson, you're displacing the number 10 pick in the draft that they just invested in, right? They let Sam Darnold walk for him. I don't know. I don't see that happening, even though I want to see it, because he will fulfill the destiny of Packers quarterbacks, right? It started with Favre, and then it's Rodgers, and I wait for Jordan Love to do it 10 years from now. That's what I'm expecting. Some bitch is going to end up with fucking Giants. Like that I have this bad feeling in the pit of my stomach that this some bitch is gonna end up with the fucking Giants. Why? Because they're dumb enough to pay him. He's gonna talk his way out of the deal with the Steelers. They'll get Russ back, Russ and DK, and then watch that go. Right? Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that that's what's gonna happen. And it makes me sick to my stomach that's gonna happen. Now, I get that next year's a quarterback draft and all that stuff. The problem is that he's going to try and win. Right? He's going to try and win. He's got something to prove.
I think it comes down to, like, you know, is this about winning? Is this about being comfortable? I mean, these are your last years. I mean, do you really want to go to Pittsburgh? Live there? You have no running game. You're going to be throwing to DK Metcalf and George Pickens if they don't wind up fighting and killing each other. You go back to the Giants. I mean, you just renovated this house in Jersey. You'll be playing with a fresh out-of-the-box receiver who is amazing. Expectations are low. No one's expecting you to win a Super Bowl with the Giants, so whatever you do is considered impressive. You go to the Steelers, there's expectations there. You go into the black and blue North. You got to play the Ravens, man. You got to play the Browns. You go to the Giants, you know, not that it's that much better, but who's going to beat you up there?
The Eagles? Commies,
Dallas? The Eagles? The Eagles is one team, right?
The Commies? They got better.
I don't know. They did get better. So I don't know. I mean, if I'm him, you know, I think what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm not trying to say take the easy road, but you want to be comfortable. This is your twilight years. This is the end, you know? I don't know if, I'm not sure if going to Pittsburgh and dealing with all that is really worth it.
Well, the most comfortable, you would say, is Minnesota. I would argue.
If you can make that happen, yeah.
Right.
Because then you got McCarthy, who's coming off of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
He'll sit behind you and he'll see how it all works. Like, it'd be like the Kurt Warner, Eli Manning situation, right?
And I think he's going to play. He's going to play at TIAA Stadium. It's a dome. It's temperature controlled. Indoor. He doesn't have to worry about the elements. He doesn't have to worry about the swirling winds at MetLife. He doesn't have to worry about
Houston
a
North.
Yeah,
he's used to that division. They got great receivers there. They have a really good offense. Their defense just needs tooling.
But, in later years, the bones got brittle, man. That's why they didn't win in friggin' Green Bay. Like, the arthritis kicked in. He needed to get some Bengay going in those cold Lambeau games.
But there were a few teams that have yet to make a headline, which include the Kansas City Chiefs, who seem to be just losing players, the Dallas Cowboys, and the New York Giants. So what team appears to be late to the party to you? What team was not as active as they should have been the last couple of dates?
The team that's not on this list, the San Francisco 49ers.
They are cut their fullback.
They're fucking hemorrhaging players. I think it's eight guys. They've lost eight guys already.
Greenlaw left too.
Greenlaw left. Isaiah Mitchell left. But he's with the Chiefs now. They went and signed Elijah Mitchell, I should say. Mufanga is leaving. I forget who's talking to him. Maybe the Broncos. But they willingly cut Hughescheck. Right, so they traded Debo. Right, what, you know? I don't like agreeing with Micah Parsons, but he did tweet in response to all this: "Got to pay your quarterback, so everybody else is gone." Right? So
yeah.
Between, you know, Ayuk and Brock Purdy, they're making some tough financial decisions out there in San Francisco, and. Are they replacing him? Not through free agency, at least not right now. Right? A lot of the best players, or even the very good players, are slowly filling up the chairs. In this game of musical chairs, they may very well not have a seat at some of these tables. Now, you know, the Giants brought in Javon Holland. Like, okay, like he was a starter in Miami. He's a pretty decent.
That guy's annoying.
Yeah, he's annoying, but, you know, he can play corner. So we'll see what they're doing. They're trying to revamp that secondary. They brought in a couple linemen. So, you know, they're making moves. They're not splashy. They're not sexy. But they're at least doing something. They brought back Darius Slayton for more than what they offered Saquon Barkley, which I'm sure is going to sit very well with Giants fans. So Darius Slayton is a good complimentary receiver, a number two, a number three. Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah,
he's making as much as Saquon is.
He's making more. He's making more. Jesus Christ. So there's that. The Cowboys brought in Javonte Williams. Again, not sexy. They're let Rico Dowdle, we hardly knew you. So they brought in Solomon Thomas. So you're getting some guys. But for me, just by the sheer hemorrhaging, it's the Niners. Like the Chiefs still have enough guys on their roster. They still have enough pedigree that they'll be fine. Right? You plug some holes here, you plug some holes there. You're not losing the core of your team. The Niners are losing the core of their team because now that bill is coming due in Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm the champs. The Kansas City AFC Chiefs, I'd rather say. The AFC champs. I mean, you said it. You said they've got to get a tackle. They've got to address a lot of their problems in free agency. And they're not. They're hemorrhaging. You saw the Niners are losing players. The Chiefs have lost Watson. They lost Reed. They lost Joe Thuney. And they lost DeAndre Hopkins. They signed Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. How did he get a pay raise when the dude was hurt all year? And when he did play, he didn't do shit. And somehow, he must be a fantastic practice player for him to go from making $8 million to making $11 million. Not even, I think he had one catch in the Super Bowl. I don't know.
It sounds about right.
I think they're just taking things for granted down there. I don't see what they're going to be doing. I like the Cardinals. They went out there, got a defensive player. Packers been really quiet. The Cowboys, you know, outside of Javonte, I don't really think that's that great. The Giants were waiting to find out who the quarterback's going to be. So let's say Aaron Rodgers goes to the Steelers. Then who the fuck is playing quarterback for the New York Football Giants?
So at this point, it's either Russ or Jameis, right? Jameis's market is quiet. So I wonder, you know, I wonder.
Wow, could that really happen? Oh, my God.
What happened?
I'm saying, could that happen? That'd be crazy if that could happen.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that you have to strike while the iron's hot. And it's very much like Pete Alonso. Like, other players set your market. So other players have kind of determined what you're going to get. Because he's not a great quarterback. But he's also not the drizzling shits. He's kind of just in the pocket. He's a serviceable veteran, potentially backup, can start you a few games, will get you beat, but will also have these but he'll also have these amazing comeback moments where he teases you into thinking that he could be the man. In short, he's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So not Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins will not be a Giant.
Kirk Cousins will not be a Giant. They also, the Falcons are on record saying they're going to keep him, which I don't know how the fuck that's going to work. So, yeah. So Penix already took your job, bro. So I don't know how this is going to work.
Hassan Riddick to the Bucs is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So he's replacing Joe Tryon, who went to the Browns.
This dude came there for like a hot second and it was out. Like,
fuck this.
You guys don't got your shit together.
Nope.
I told you I'm not playing until you give me my money.
Well,
you're not giving me my money. I'm not playing. I don't care if the coach gets fired. I don't care if the GM gets fired. I'm not playing until I get paid.
Completely.
That's exactly what happened there, and they all got fucking fired.
Yeah. Well,
that backfired.
To say that was risky is an understatement. So Jameis is in conversation with the Niners and the Chargers. That's interesting. That
Chargers
is interesting.
Would be good for him. Chargers would be good for him. I don't think 49ers is going to be – that's not a good spot for him.
You know, but
– Dallas might actually even be a good spot for him if they could afford him. But because they don't – I think Cooper Rush is a free agent.
The immortal Cooper Rush. But they got Trey Lance. So maybe they're –
he's not a free agent?
I don't think so. I think he's still there. I think he's still under contract.
All those rookie deals should have expired because, like – Fields was a free agent. Zach Wilson was a free agent. That motherfucker should also be a free agent. Yeah, he definitely is. He gotta be.
Well, if that's the case, Jerry Jones royally fucked this up. So
it's gotta be your ball.
It's gotta. I don't know where I'm going. I just killed Bambi.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
We'll talk about killing Bambi. In baseball, the Yankees were dealt a blow yesterday, but it was revealed
that
starting pitcher Gerrit Cole will undergo season-ending Tommy John surgery. Gerrit Cole won the Cy Young last year and has been the Yankees' ace for several seasons, allegedly. The Yankees are also without Giancarlo Stanton right now, who appears to be dealing with two cases of tennis elbow. Don't tell me how that happened. So should the Yankees be concerned?
Plus Luis Gil with a lat strain.
Yes.
Lat strains right. Take forever to heal. Plus DJ LeMahieu, which is with his annual injury. It may be his foot again. I'm not sure. Might be a hamstring. Could be his back. Who the fuck knows? DJ LeMahieu is always hurt. Should the Yankees be concerned? Absolutely the Yankees should be concerned. Now, here's the thing. It's opening day, whatever. But apparently Max Fried is not on target. He's not on track to be the opening day starter. The guy you just paid $200-something million to. Aaron Boone's like, well, we weren't prepared for this, so we're not going to take Max off of his regular day. So looks like it's going to be Carlos Rodon.
Yes.
Carlos Rodon gets booed off of Yankee Stadium mound day one. All right. Actually, they may be might be in Milwaukee. Even better, opening day against Nestor Cortez.
Yeah. Oh, Cheerio up at the plate. Oh, no. Shit.
No. That's the Shaquille O'Neal left. That baby's out of here. Oh, my God. So the Yankees are fucked right now. So
I don't know.
Schmidt hasn't pitched yet. Will Warren didn't look great last year. He's probably going to be your number five, maybe, possibly. You now have to keep Marcus Stroman.
Yes. Yes, you have to keep him now.
So no Stroman.
I'm talking about trading him.
Yeah, no Stroman for Marte. That's not happening.
The thing I don't understand with Hal is that, you know, he talks about trying to trade Stroman and get rid of this contract. It's a one-year deal. Hal, and what do you think you're getting in return for him? I don't understand. The Yankees surprised me. It's like, guys, you have to make a decision. You're either going to go back to buying players, or you're going to suck for 4 years and develop your farm system. Because there's nobody on the farm. They have one top 100 prospect. They have one. The New York Yankees have one top 100 prospect. So what are you guys going to do? Like, I don't understand some of the things they say and the moves they make. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what is, and I actually kind of disagree with you. I don't think they're in trouble. I think the fact that they did get Max Fried helps them. They have four guys that can start. You know, they have arms. Now, if they didn't have Max Fried, then yeah, they'd be in a lot of trouble. Right? Max Fried does get hurt. I think they're in a good spot. I think it's fine. I heard Bellinger's been playing really well in spring. I think the only thing is now is you're an Aaron Judge injury away from saying fuck this season.
Right.
And that's the only problem.
Well, that's the thing. You brought in Paul Goldschmidt. He's what, 37?
Which is something they love to do now, right? They love to bring in these aging guys and they're like, well, if he has a bounce back year, we'll be okay. Like, before that, they were talking about trading Stroman for Nolan Arenado. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, are you serious? Is that really what the answer is? We're going to bring in Nolan Arenado now?
Did Mozeliak hang up the phone or did Chaim Bloom hang it up for him? Like that.
Who is this? Yeah. Like, what are you kidding me? Like, now we're talking about this? It doesn't make any sense to me. And it's like you're not going to be able to get a pitcher now. You're not going to be able to get a pitcher now. And you're going to have to wait until...
Go sign Spencer Turnbull. He's a free agent. Like, that's the thing. The extra...
The Yankees are going to open up with a bullpen game.
Right. You know what? Could have had Nestor Cortez start. Again, goes back to Nestor. So, you know. No, the depth is a problem. Depth is an absolute problem. And
they just don't fleece anybody like they used to. They used to fleece teams. That's what the Rays do now, you know, and the Astros. You're not able to fleece somebody. You're not going to be able to turn Stroman into anything. If you want a pitcher at the deadline or a really good third baseman, you're going to have to give up your fucking farm team and your talent. You're going to have to give up the Dominguezes, the Oswaldo Cabreras. You're going to have to give these guys up. Teams aren't taking your shit anymore.
Well, with Stroman, he's a change of scenery guy. Like, he would be the guy. I mean, let's just use the Cardinals for an example. He's the guy you trade for Eric Fetty, another change of scenery guy. You're not getting anything for him. You're getting a guy that you're saying that if he comes here, maybe he'll be slightly better. Marcus Stroman is the guy you traded to the White Sox for Martin Perez. In hopes that maybe, possibly, you get something out of the guy. You know, like, that's what you're doing. You're like, I can't fucking stand this guy. He's a cancer in the clubhouse. We gotta get fucking rid of him. We'll take 10 cents on the dollar.
And then Cole gets hurt. Welcome back.
Marcus, buddy. We missed you. Booby.
You're my white knight. I must have missed 60 minutes.
Oh, my God. But you're right. I mean, the lack of depth in the Yankee farm system is nothing new. You know, like, they are habitually doing this.
Right.
Hype, prospect hook. We're not going to trade. And this is not a George Steinbrenner thing. This is the recent vintage of Steinbrenner. Why? Right. Because they care more about the bottom line than they do about winning. Because if they cared about winning, you would have had Machado, you would have had Harper, you would have gotten Ohtani, you would have gotten fucking all. You would have done what the Dodgers did.
Right. They didn't even call Harper. And he wanted a phone call. They didn't even call him.
He grew up a Yankee fan. He wanted to be a Yankee.
They made the deal for Stanton, and that's where you are now. I mean, if you could describe Giancarlo Stanton's tenure with the Yankees in one word, how would you describe it?
Disappointing.
Yeah. Frustrating. right?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy that...
There's a guy.
When he plays, he smokes the ball. But the other problem is they think that they're getting postseason Giancarlo Stanton every day. And you don't. The guy can't play the field. He can't stay healthy. He's got tennis elbow. It's fucking March. How the fuck did you get tennis elbow in both arms in the last 3 months?
So bad that he may require surgery.
Where the hell were you? And what the fuck were you doing? You playing pickleball, brah? Like, what are you doing?
Well, if that's the case, then JD Martinez is going to come soon because he owns a pickleball team. So, you know what? Fuck it. The Yankees could use JD Martinez. They need a professional bat.
Stay one of the first week. That fucking guy's hurt.
Yeah.
We just got here. I didn't even check into my hotel room. How the fuck is he hurt? Get him out here. Get him out there and tell him to take batting practice. I don't give a fuck if he's hurt.
Yeah.
Who am I not paying around here?
The drop off is
real. It's got to be frustrating.
It's extremely frustrating.
It's
got
to be frustrating to hear that he's hurt and he can't pick up a bat and swing it. Like, what are you talking about right now?
Well, here's the thing.
I didn't check into my hotel room. I just got here.
Right. Now, you juxtapose this, right?
And who's playing third base?
Right now is Oswaldo Cabrera. No, that's not the answer.
That's
sorry.
Just not going to work, man.
That's not going to cut it. I'm sorry, it's not. Or Jazz Chisholm. Like, okay, he was average. Slightly below.
Doesn't he have to play second?
He has to play second because you let Gleyber walk. And then you traded Durbin, you know, they were talking about Durbin. They traded him as part of the package to get Devin Williams. So you have, who are you freaking relying on? Vivas? Like, who? Like, they're not there. These prospects aren't there. Or they're so far down the pipe that you're not going to see him coming. You know, they'll be there in like 6 years, 5-6 years. Like the Austin Wellses and the Oswaldo Cabreras, even Dominguez, like not really equating himself that well, but they just hold on to them. They just, until their value just completely rings out. Look at Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt is maybe a five in this league.
I don't know if he's going to be able to make it, that guy.
Like, he was better last year, but better than bad is still kind of bad. Like, he was decent at best. So the Yankees are in a major problem because they don't have the depth. They're not willing to make trades. And what, no. They're not going to sign guys who are going to be professional innings eaters. They're not going to sign the professional beating takers. That's what you need. You need guys who will take the beating because your bullpen got worse too. So yes, I understand Devin Williams. You lost Canely. You lost Meza. You brought back Hill. But there's a reason why these guys got cut from their other teams and the Yankees were able to swoop in and kind of sign them. There's always a chance they'll regress to the mean. Luke Weaver, there's always a chance he will regress to the mean. Is he going to be the eighth inning guy or is he going to be the closer? What's he going to be? I don't know what the bullpen structure is. You assume that Devin Williams is the guy because you traded for him. You assume. You're also assuming that Devin Williams can handle playing in New York. This ain't Milwaukee. We've seen lots of guys. We've seen Jeremy Brnitz twice. It ain't Milwaukee. Milwaukee to New York, it doesn't work all the time. So they got to figure it out and fast. They got to pull one out of the Mike Westhoff handbook and figure it out. Because if they don't, if they don't, you're looking at fourth place.
Figure it out, coach.
Figure it out. Absolutely figure it out.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch. And I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
One team that doesn't really need to figure it out is the Thunder. However, there are
Thunder.
Sometimes there are some blips on the radar. They lost last night to the Nuggets, 140-127, but not without a valiant effort from SGA, who is one of the top MVP candidates, mostly because he's actually playing. Funny how that works. Currently, SGA is averaging 32-5-6 and is shooting 52% from the field. So outside of 92 Jordan and Curry the year the Warriors went 73-9, is this the best season for a guard in NBA history?
I think it's pretty close. The only other player that comes close, in my opinion, is Harden. Harden, his MVP season, he was averaging 30 points. He was shooting 44% from the field. And his assists were stupid. He had 8 assists per game. And he was averaging almost 5 rebounds. So yeah, I think it's impressive. And the fact that he's shooting over 52% from the field, that's the part that crushes me. And the team is, you know, it's competing for an NBA championship. Yeah, they took one on the chin yesterday by the Nuggets, but the Nuggets are soaring right now. You know, the Nuggets are, they're ascending, and Joker is making his case for another MVP. You know, it was interesting, Z, I was reading about this. LeBron James has not won the MVP award since 2012.
Huh.
Can you believe that? When he was 28 years old. That was the last time LeBron James won the MVP award.
Wow.
How crazy is that? Does that sound right to you?
Not really, considering the fact that we could say that they can give it to LeBron whenever they want, and he can be the MVP whenever he wants.
And I think the same could really be said, you know, lately about Joker, right? Because, you know, his coach went to bat for him recently, saying, like, you know, if you took away the 3 MVPs that he has and you just looked at his stats this year, you would say he should be getting the MVP award. And you know what? I kind of agree with that. You know, they have this thing where they just don't like to give it to the same player, like, over and over again. But what are you supposed to do? Like, LeBron only has 4 MVP awards. The dude's played 20 years. He went to, like, 10 straight finals. And he's only got 4 MVP awards? Come on. Come on. Are you kidding me? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, it doesn't. But if you're looking just from a purely statistical standpoint, let's not factor in winning. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we're not factoring in winning with this. We had a player in recent years who averaged 31.6 points, 10.7 rebounds, 10.4 assists, 1.6 steals, and 0.4 blocks per game. Scoring champion, MVP, All-Star, first team All-NBA. Team one who got. Do you know who that was?
No.
Russell Westbrook.
Oh.
Yeah. So from a purely statistical standpoint, Russell Westbrook had one of the best seasons in NBA history. For naught. Because...
But what was his shooting percentage? It wasn't that good, I'm assuming.
He's a volume shooter. No. Yeah. He's a volume shooter. So, on the periphery, when you just look at the results, that looks really good. But when you look at the grander scheme of things, what they actually do with that. The 2016-17 Thunder. Yeah, no. Nada. So, you gotta put SGA up there because he's the total package, right? He's distributing the ball. He's shooting with efficiency. He's scoring with aplomb. And his team is the best team in the league. Like, this has to be, like, as for regular seasons go, that is definitely one of the top.
So Jordan in 92 averaged 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 6 assists. And he was averaging 5 rebounds.
So about the same.
And then Steph Curry in his magical season, he was averaging 30 points per game, four rebounds, and his assist number was 6.
Wow. Yeah. So, still pretty low, right? I mean,
none of those guys shot 52%.
That's what makes it impressive. That's what makes it impressive, the fact that he's 52% from the field.
Because I'm assuming, let me look at what Joker's got, because I'm assuming he is...
Now, also, that averaging a triple-double year, how many times did they feed Russ, or how many times did he make the extra pass just so that he could get that stat line?
Yeah, that's true.
It's, you know, we've seen what Russ can do. We've seen how he plays. There is a little element of a grandstand and then a hot dog in what Russ does. SGA is a team ball.
Jokic's averaging 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists.
Okay.
And he's shooting 58% from the field.
That's impressive, too. Yeah. But he's not a guard. So,
no.
The one thing. If we are going to parse this just by saying guard seasons, yeah. Like, we'll stick with the three at the top. But that is very impressive for a big man. You know, you definitely...
And he plays every day.
He does. He's very durable. You know, and SGA, he's durable as well.
Yeah.
And that's probably why he's going to win the MVP. Right? He's actually willing to go on the court and do the things that other alleged superstars are not willing to do. And that's actually play. I know, that's shocking. But you can put SGA up against any of these top flight guards, and I think he would equate himself well. But you also have guys like Gilbert Arenas, who had a great season one. You have, you know, Steve Francis had a good year. That was fine, but it's not transcendent. But you have players that were very good, like Chris Paul had a year where he had, you know, 21, 12, and 4 rebounds. So you have see these seasons that bubble up, but ultimately they don't really match up because of, one, the team record, and two, the efficiency with which SGA is going about his business. So this is something to really appreciate, and it's something to take note of, because he is blossoming into the superstar that they were hoping Anthony Edwards would be. Right? You were hoping for certain players to ascend and take the mantle of the face of the NBA. So can the NBA really have the face of its league playing out in Oklahoma City is the question. I don't know about that. Think about it. Jordan, Chicago, major market. Shaq, Orlando, okay, not as big of a market, but still pretty big because of Disney. LA, major market, went and played for Boston, major market, went and played for Philly. Not Philly, Phoenix. An up-and-coming market. Went and played for Miami. Major market. Durant, where hasn't he played? at this point. Let's just put where he hasn't played. I don't know if...
Gee, does Kevin Durant have any? I don't think he has any MVPs.
No.
Maybe one. He may have one. I think he has one.
But to be the face of the league, right? I don't know. I just... As good as SGA is, I don't know if...
Yeah, he has one MVP.
One MVP. Okay. Probably his last year with the Thunder?
2013-2014.
So he's with the Thunder. So,
Thunder, yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I don't know if... They tried it with Giannis. I mean... It's worth giving him a go, right? It's worth putting SGA out there because of the way he plays, his availability. Why not? Why not give him a run, right? They've been trying guys. They tried Jason Tatum. They tried all these guys. Why not? Let SGA run with this. Let him run with the ball as the best in the NBA and see if he draws attention. Let's see if he draws eyeballs. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised if you were one Adam Silver. I think that as players start to kind of like slough off and stop playing, fans are going to start getting wise to it and they're going to start appreciating the guys who are there. And SGA is one of those guys that are there.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
It's the In Route where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the in crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutmail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutdnz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have student engagement manager at Penn State College of Medicine, Amy Ward. Thanks for coming on the show today.
What's going on, Amy?
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's going.
It's going.
It's been a week. It's almost crunch time, but it's going. Yeah. It's going great.
All right. Well, we'll start you off with this. You've spent some time with the Hershey Bears, which are AHL affiliate of the Washington Capitals. You know, currently, Alexander Ovechkin is 9 goals away from Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. This is one record that most people never thought would be broken. So what are your thoughts on Ovechkin's impending breaking of this record this season?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. The hype and excitement around hockey right now, and with Ovechkin, like, everyone kept talking about when Gretzky broke that, had that record. Well, like, no one's going to be able to even top this and reach it. And to know that we are witnessing history and to see that people of all hockey fans across the country or, like, and even internationally are watching this happen. He's got, what, 9th go to break it? Like, that's...
9 goals.
Incredible.
That's it.
Incredible. And I'm stoked. I mean, obviously, I became a Capitals fan because with working affiliate, you become a member of, like, the Capitals family. And to see him progress and to see just his career explode, especially being 39. Like, I'm 39. So, like, to see him excel at this rate. And he was injured this year.
It's broke his leg. He was out a month, 5 weeks.
And he probably would have broken the record already if he wasn't out. Like, and that's just even crazier because the beginning of the season, they said, oh, maybe he'll get it this year, but probably next year. We'll wait and see. So to see him excelling the way he is at his age in hockey is just unbelievable. And it's just so exciting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I had a really great opportunity. I worked with the Islanders for a couple of seasons and I got to stand by and watch a Capitals practice, like, you know, before playing the Islanders one time. And the things that he was doing in practice, were just incredible. Like, and there's nobody around, there's nobody watching, it's just the team there. But the ability to, you know, shoot the puck from anywhere on the ice, and his skating ability, his finesse, was definitely a marvel to watch. And that was back in 2008, 2009. So, holy shit.
Yeah, to think that. And it's just great to watch. And I was excited to see the news. I think they announced at the end of last week or maybe over the weekend that he now going forward was like donating to the V Foundation. For every goal, he's going to donate that amount. So like 886 to like the V Foundation. I know, I think Monumental Sports said that they were going to match it too. So you have the extra funds going to the V Foundation because he wants to help with pediatric cancer research.
That's amazing.
So, it just adds to the story. It's so great.
I mean, so the all-time goals record is incredible, but let's be honest, a second Stanley Cup in the same season would make him immortal. So what will a second Stanley Cup do for Ovi's legacy, since they're the best team in the league right now?
I'm afraid to even say the word Stanley Cup just because I am cheering on the Caps and you don't want to jinx anything.
Right.
But, you know, for a second cup, whether I hope they get the cup again, I really do, as a fan and as a supporter of Ovechkin, you know, just it'd be icing on a cake for this season that he would have.
I think your dog would appreciate it too, right?
Yes. I mean, he already has like a collar that's Capitals and a leash and a bandana. But for Ovechkin, I mean, I that have never even won a cup and are like these historic players, whether even like Lundqvist from the Rangers, like it's just like that well-known goaltender. He never won a cup. He won't be forgotten, though. He's gonna have that legacy in New York for years to come. So for Ovechkin to already have a cup with them in 18, which was awesome to be a part of, to see through that, because I was working for the Bears when that happened, so I was able to go down and cover one of the cup games. So now to have him potentially, hopefully, get a second one, and I just want to keep seeing him play. So I'm afraid to say if they win the cup, I'd be afraid that he would call it quits, because I think he still has so much left in him. We see that.
He seems like a Jaromir Jagr type player that he'll play until he can't play anymore. He can still get on the wing and he can still fire it. I think he's going to stick around. He loves the game too much.
Guys, listen, as long as he stays in D.C. and doesn't turn into a Jagr where he's hopping team to team, I just want him to stay in D.C. and have that legacy in D.C. And people forget too. I remember them too. He also has like 100 points.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah.
Just these numbers that he's putting up right now in the NHL is just awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, you also spent 9 years with the Hershey Bears. So, you know, tell us about that time and tell us some of the things you liked about being with that organization and attending those games and being around those players.
I grew up in New Jersey and I moved out here going into high school. So the Hershey Bears were like the team to be. They are the brand and the history behind that team. Everyone here goes to Bears games. Everyone knows about the players. When I started to work for them and had that chance, I considered their fan base almost like the Hershey Bears were like the New York Yankees of minor league hockey.
Really?
They have that history, that tradition. They just won back-to-back Calder Cup championships the last 2 years again. They're making headlines everywhere. Like, there's just so much joy and excitement with the team. So to be there and to be able to provide some memories for fans was like the best part of my job. So I was in marketing, but I got to do the in-game theme nights. I was a part of Teddy Bear Toss for years before it truly exploded.
I always remember watching those, and that was always incredible to see all those stuffed animals and all the happy and the joy it brought everybody.
And I see my like little memories come across Facebook where it's like, oh, this year for Teddy Bear Toss back in 2012, we had 1,000. They had 70,000.
That's crazy.
Collected. Like, it's just, the fans get so excited about it, experience it. It's watching everybody carrying these grocery bags, like in trash bags filled with bears, or even Costco sized bears, like over their shoulders, walking into the venue and like plopping them down in the aisle, getting ready for that goal. Like, there's just nothing like it. And so to be a part of that and to be able to provide there with the things that I can do and that I had access to do, I mean, there was nothing like it. I truly enjoyed my time in Hershey. And I always tell people, like, if you're going to go to a hockey game, if you can't get to an NHL game, go to a Bears game.
Right. Some people throw octopus. Some people throw stuffed animals. It depends on what game you go to.
Luckily, fans don't throw octopus or any other thing like that, because that would be
catfish
horribly
in Nashville.
That would just be gross for me to deal with.
The rubber rats in Miami.
Yeah, I just the fact that people.
Yeah.
Rubber is one thing. That's one thing. Having an actual octopus thrown out onto the ice, or a catfish, like, as somebody who helped oversee social media, like, you would want to get close up to that. I don't want to get near that. So, but no, I highly recommend, if you guys haven't been to a Bears game, it's something that fans should definitely check out as a Hershey Bears hockey game, because there's nothing like it. And again, just the buzz from winning the back-to-back championships there, and to see some of the players going to D.C. and making an impact there now, like Connor McMichael.
Well, awesome. Another team that's all a buzz is the Eagles. And since you are, you know, since you're affiliated with Penn State, I think it's important that we kind of talk about one Mr. Saquon Barkley. So he won the Super Bowl with the Eagles and had a 2,000-yard rushing season and, you know, basically like rubbed the Giants' nose in it all year long. Even though he's from the Bronx, Saquon went to high school in Whitehall Township, went to Penn State, has that Super Bowl ring. So where is he? How important is Saquon in the history of Philly sports? Where do you put him in the pantheon?
You know, Saquon was loved by so many people in Pennsylvania already. You know, being from Whitehall, which is out, right outside Allentown. He just got the key to the city from Allentown just this week as well. Then going to Penn State, making such a huge impact there. He already left his mark on Pennsylvania before he even hit Philadelphia. And for everything to go down the way it did with him in New York with the Giants, he had to prove a point, I think, and the Eagles had a perfect lineup and set up for him to completely dominate. And there was nothing more exciting than watching him just completely run over everybody this year. It was so awesome to see the hype around him and to see the excitement from even like on our campus. You know, I work for Penn State, but I'm at the College of Medicine in Hershey. We're not at main campus, but we bring that We Are spirit here. And you see students on Penn State Fridays, people wear Penn State gear. They're wearing a Saquon 26 jersey around. They don't care if it's Philly. They don't care what. They're representing him and they're representing Penn State University. And it was just so awesome to see him. It really was like a Cinderella year for him, because he came out so strong. He won Rookie of the Year his first year, and then he was having injuries left and right at the Giants, which is so upsetting to see. And to have everything went down, and I know there's a lot of memes and videos out there from conversations that took place over the summer, but before he went to, or not even over the summer, but before he went to Philly, and to see what he did this year and make such a huge impact, and now he got paid for the incredible year that he had, and kudos to him, because he deserves it.
Highest like, paid running back in the NFL.
He's going to be around for a while, and I think he's going to be doing some amazing things yet to see. And he will break that running record.
So, as you mentioned, you are at the Penn State College of Medicine in Hershey, and the work you're doing there is really inspiring. You recently ran a Random Acts of Kindness campaign for students and staff, where you handed out cookies and candy to students on campus. Can you give us feedback on that initiative and any upcoming events you're excited about?
Yeah, so my role in the Student Affairs Office is to create opportunities for students to take study breaks and remind them that they are human beings. We're proud of them and all the hard work they're doing in their education with their curriculum to become doctors and physician assistant students and graduate students. But we need to remind them that they are human and it's okay to take a break, and it's important for them and their well-being to take a break. So when you're looking at different activities and events to activate, it was something I actually did with the Hershey Bears, was a Random Acts of Kindness Day, where we took players out into the community and were able to provide gift cards to family members on the streets. We actually walked into a restaurant, paid for their meal, paid for someone's gas. So I said, we should do something like this here, where we walked into classrooms, we handed out candy to some of our faculty members, we gave cookies to students in the middle of their class. Our dean actually came with me, and we walked through the library, we grabbed a couple students, we took them to Starbucks on campus, we bought them coffees. So just showing those random things, it creates joy and a sense of belonging too, of, hey, you guys are doing some great stuff for us. We really, they love food. So anytime we do anything with food, whether it's cookies or pizza or Chick-fil-A we had last week for them at one point, we will do whatever we can. So I kind of look at those as opportunities for how do we engage with our students in different ways. So we have a wellness day coming up in April for our first year medical students that are very heavy into the different classes and different areas of learning. And so I am doing a day where they won't have class, but we're providing different activities for them. So I'm going to be giving them lunch for the day. They are going to do either, I'm not sure if I'm going to do a friendship bracelet making session because they're still incredibly popular thanks to Miss Taylor Swift and all everybody else who has been rocking them. Bedazzling things has been very popular right now on social media. I'm bringing in baby goats from a local farm for them to actually just go out and do baby goat snuggles. They see therapy dogs often on campus, but I said, what is completely different? I was like, I'm bringing in baby goats. They're going to be born in March. Let's bring them in. Just providing this unique opportunities. Last Monday, we went to Giant Center. I had 150 students come out to Giant Center, the local home of the Hershey Bears, and we did skating at Giant Center. And we had some first-time students on skates on ice for the very first time, and it was the best feeling watching them learn to skate, get comfortable on the ice. Then next thing you know, they go from the wall to holding somebody's hand to going by themselves. Like, it was just awesome. So anything I can do to provide unique experiences for the students and providing them that good study break, I'm all about it. So I'm excited for our wellness day coming up. We have our big match day celebration coming up, which in the medical field is huge for MD students. So it's when the fourth year students find out where they're matching for their internship or residency. It's a national program. So every student across the nation who's a fourth year medical student graduating finds out the exact day and time. So next Friday at noon, they all get an email letting them know where they're matching. So we have a big celebration that day with them in Hershey to celebrate them.
That's awesome. And you know, free food is the way to everybody's heart, I say. Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
The way to my heart.
Have you reached out to the Bears at all? I know you mentioned the Giant Center, but have you engaged the Bears in like a strategic partnership regarding, you know, student engagement or?
So Hershey Entertainment Resorts has been great in working with us. So a lot of people don't realize the Hershey Bears are owned by Hershey Entertainment and Resorts. So they own Hershey Park. They own the hotel and the lodge, some of the restaurants downtown. So we did a great partnership with them. We actually brought our students to Hershey Nice. Park last year who are incoming students. So as they came in, they did orientation. Their last day of orientation, they got a day in Hershey Park. Talking to them about opportunities to attend Bears games based around the schedule for what the students have for different things. I know we talked to them about playoff opportunities. As those of us who worked in sports know, playoff games will pop up and you don't know when the game sometimes is going to be or the time. So you want to make sure you get people in those seats, and our students are always engaged to go to Giant Center to watch a game. So I said, keep me on your list that if you guys need to push something last minute, let me know and we'll get the students there. So they have been work with promoting our students and health and wellness
awesome.
For them.
So we'll get you out of here on this one. You had a very impressive career, and the laundry list of organizations here, from the Jets to the Giants to the Hershey Bears, Penn State, it's a who's who. So what's been the most rewarding experience in your opinion?
You know, when you hear something like that, you kind of have to stop and think about everything you've done when it's really a simple answer. Most rewarding is the joy and the smiles to people. The smallest thing makes the biggest impact, whether it's, you know, getting a puck for a girl who said, hey, like Liam O'Brien, like he plays for Utah now. Like Liam O'Brien, it's my birthday. Can I get a puck? He didn't see the sign during warmups, but I did. So I got a puck, got him to sign awesome. It and deliver it to her during the game. And she probably still has it. And that's years ago. Or, you know, working with, you know, students and being able, just like the ice skating session we had recently, seeing them on the ice for the first time and the joy and excitement of them saying, like, I'm doing this. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this. To even, unfortunately, you know, you sometimes work with kids who are not going, they're going through a battle. And so I've met some great kids and great families. And unfortunately, some of those people are no longer here. but you were able to provide an opportunity for them and their families that didn't take much effort, but you made a lasting impact. So I'm all about that. So if anything I can do that brings a smile to someone's face, make them laugh when they're going through something, or being as silly as, hey guys, like, here's some soft pretzels, enjoy. And they're like, yes, soft pretzels. It's like, it's the smallest things that bring me the most joy. And that's honestly most rewarding. Name that laundry list of organizations I've worked for or major sporting events I've had the opportunity to work or volunteer for. It all comes back down to the people and making that impact and just being kind and bringing joy to others. That is most 100%. Rewarding.
It really is about the people. I mean, like, for those of you that followed our socials this weekend, I was down in Port St. Lucie with Gil from Fuck Clout, and we were at the Met game. And there's this one kid. He put up the sign on the screen. It's my first game. Can I get a ball? And Gil made it his personal mission to make sure that this kid got an autographed ball. Lo and behold, the Mets didn't give him an autographed ball. Dale Strawberry did. Made that happen. Yeah, take that all day. So, you know, it's one of those things. Your smiles, like, it's those, that little thing, that kindness that you give to a stranger. And it's something that sticks with you, you know? Even just as simple as, like you were saying before, taking the med students for a cup of coffee. Like, it makes a huge difference. And they'll remember that. Mm-hmm. And they'll remember that kindness and pay it forward. It's what you hope for sure.
Yes. Yeah, no, you hope for the good in people. And I smile just here talking to Damien. I can think of memories I've had with the Jets, you know, when you're a Jets intern. Even those days, you look back, you may not have enjoyed them necessarily during that moment where it's 95 degrees outside and you're helping move inflatables across, you know, concrete areas of a parking lot. But at the same time, you remember those kids who are laughing and giggling going down that slide more than you remember having to move them. And you remember being able to assist with bringing a youth football team out onto the field, onto the sidelines, and then being able to talk to one of the players afterwards and how they will never forget that. You had a very small part of that, and that makes the biggest impact. And that really helped me guide my career, actually, that internship with the Jets. Made me realize, like, I love that engagement piece. I love working with people. I love working with youth specifically. If I can provide opportunities and, you know, kind of help direct that whole path to where I am now with it, not be working for an organization anymore in sports. However, I'm still bringing that joy every day and still have sports in my life. So,
well, we can hear the joy. We can hear the passion in your voice, Amy. And it's definitely, you know, it's certainly palpable. And, you know, we're just thankful that you were able to take the time to come on and join us. So, student engagement manager at Penn State College of Medicine, Amy Ward, thank you for joining us on the In Route tonight. And if you want to be a member of the In Route, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a line on X at faderoutednz. And let us know if you want to join the In Route. Amy Ward, thank you for coming on. And anything you want to plug tonight, socials, anything, where can they reach you?
Oh man, anyone can follow me or my dog Ovi on social media, Golden Ovi. But no, you guys, anyone's welcome to follow me on social media. I'm most active on Instagram, which is just Amy L Ward _ because there's a lot of Amy Wards out there. But
the real Amy,
she's the real Amy Ward.
I am the real Amy Ward because we all know there's a bunch of fakes out there and wannabes. No, but thank you guys so much for inviting me on. And I mean, I'm always happy to talk about my career path of life, but especially hockey right now and the excitement around everything that's going on with Ovechkin. So I feel like I need to say, like, all cast, but also, and we are.
We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. I mean, it's going to be close. Like, it's probably the next 2 or 3 games, I feel. Like, he's gonna do it. So it's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's frustrating to see the ticket prices go up as high as they did for everywhere. Because I was even looking at the Islanders game. They played the Islanders in early April. I'm like, he'll probably beat it by then. It's like, none. maybe I'll save that.
Yeah, buy playoff tickets.
Wait for the playoffs or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. But awesome. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate your time.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and on our Spotify page. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. The shout out on this here show and the coveted ass trophy is the prize. Do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week as the Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
I don't.
That would be Rob Manfred.
My man.
It's almost unfair. It's almost unfair that he gets to stay on this thing. But hey, whatever. We haven't retired him yet because he keeps doing stupid shit. So that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got New York Yankees starting pitcher Gerrit Cole. Tommy John surgery for you, my friend. Post 30, I think your ace days are over. Gerrit Cole, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Giancarlo Stanton, DH for the New York Yankees.
Sensing a theme here.
Has not played a lick of spring training due to tennis elbow in both arms. Giancarlo Stanton, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, Puka Nacua. Changing your number to 12, claiming you're going back to your college number just a few days after Davante Adams happens to sign with the Rams and probably wants your number 17. Puka Nacua, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
Good choices. Really can't go wrong with any of those. I am going to start with Liverpool FC, who is out of the Champions League after losing to PSG on pens. What's more interesting is who head manager Arne Slot decided to put up for those penalties, right? On a team with Virgil van Dijk and Mohamed Salah and Cody Gakpo and Dominic Szoboszlai and Alexis McAllister, and you choose Darwin Nunez, the guy who can't hit the broadside of a barn, saved by the keeper. And then Curtis Jones, who? Arne, tell me this doesn't mean anything to you without telling me this is meaningless. Liverpool, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two. Oh, dear. Have you seen these New Era caps? We're going to talk about New Era cap. They're doing this new design where you have the large letter, right? The large logo. And then behind it is the name of the franchise. So, like, you have the A in the middle of the Angels cap, and then you have Angels behind it. The problem is it looks like it spells anals. But that's not even the one that's offensive. That belongs to the Texas Rangers. It spells tetas. Now, for those of you that speak Spanish out there, you know exactly what tetas are. And you're probably giggling right now. yes, it's funny, but it's also very, very offensive. So, New Era Cap, I think you need to come up with a new and better design. Just do better. Just do better. New Era, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Manchester United, another soccer heavy for me, moving out of 100-year-old Old Trafford for a 100,000-seat arena that you will probably not fill up because your team is dog shit. Your own manager says it, Ruben Amorim. This is the worst season in Manchester United history. Ah, fuck it. Let's make some money. Old Trafford? Eh, we hardly knew you. Never mind. We'll see you down the road. And let's go into the new Old Trafford. That doesn't make sense. We'll just call it Trafford. But hey, don't let history get in the way. Right? Don't let tradition get in the way. We got some money to milk from our supporters while throwing out mediocre product. Man, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. Go to our Spotify page, the FadeRouteDNZ, and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than me. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.